Good morning. Brother Jordan has asked us that we turn to St. John chapter 21. This is after the resurrection of Jesus, one of the many infallible proofs that John recorded for us of his resurrection. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus shewed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. For all those who are able, let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.
Good morning. Looks like you guys brought back your friends. Welcome. We are blessed to be here this morning to be able to open up the Word of God and see what He has for us this morning. I want you to think about the Word being alive. It is active. And we can read this chapter and understand maybe what it means in our minds. I want you to let it penetrate your heart. You, through the Holy Spirit, have what your family needs, what those around you need, though they're looking to you for this living Word of God. It is an amazing blessing. Can you imagine living without it? No. Many people try to do that. Let it sink down into your ears and into your heart. This time of year, again, I'm not going to talk about planting the seeds, but necessarily, but this time of year, we're finding that things are coming to a close for many of the young people. They are graduating high school, graduating college, whatever it may be. Our family got invited to three graduation celebrations coming up in early June, all in the same weekend. So that weekend is going to be heavy on the graduation invitation side of things. But we were invited to three of them. I want you to think about an invitation. I want to invite you this morning not to a graduation party. I already graduated. I'm still learning, but I graduated high school. But there are four invitations here in John 21 that I want you to consider. And you say, preacher, aren't you missing something? The three questions, right? Well, there's four invitations from our Savior to consider. Four invitations, if you want to put it in the command category, you can as well. But it's for you to consider and respond to the four invitations that we find here. The chapter starts out saying, after these things. Wow. After these things. This is highlighting Peter coming up. And I think we can all identify with this man, Peter, from the beginning to the end here. The early parts of Peter, 3 years prior to this, 3 years maybe plus. And after these things, after these years of following Jesus, after these things, the years of walking in the footsteps of this man from Nazareth. It was an incredible journey. And after these things, Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. These things were written for our encouragement, for our knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is in verse 31 of chapter 20. And that believing, you might have life through his name. John says that's the purpose of this book. Incredible. But we're highlighting Peter's responses to after these things. And I want you to see where you fit in with Peter's life. Peter says, I go fishing. Where are we at this morning? Where are you at this morning? Are you ready to go fishing? Do you want to get back into a safe place? Some place that you're comfortable with. Some place you feel familiar to. Have things been in a turmoil? Have you been, I thought everything that was solid is moving and I don't know where this is going. And I want to get back into something comfortable. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. I don't really know what else to do. It'd be something like for me, maybe I'm going to go lay bricks again or lay stone or something like that. Something that I know a little bit about. Where are you at today? We see the first invitation from Jesus to the disciples coming in verse 6. Peter and six others go out and fish all night. And they don't catch anything. And in the morning, they see a man on the shore, and it's Jesus, and they don't know who he is. And he says, children, did you catch anything? And they said, no. And Jesus says, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Let's go back a little bit in Peter's remembrance. Peter was remembering. We go back to the book of Luke, chapter 5. And we have almost a mirror image of these verses right here. Luke chapter 5 is in the early parts of when Simon Peter intersected Jesus' life, where they came together. Prior to this, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of the fever. That is in Luke 4. But this was really early on, and Jesus is preaching from the boat. And after he's done preaching, he says, hey, let's go out into the deep water, Peter, and let's catch fish. And Peter says, hey, we fished all night, but we didn't catch anything. But at your command, we will go out. And in Luke 5, they drop their net and they bring in a great harvest of fish. And Peter comes to the Lord and says, I am a sinful man. I think he even says, depart from me. I am a sinful man. This is reminding me so much. This seems so similar to John 21. And Jesus is going through the paces again with Simon. And he says, cast your net on the right side. Are you kidding me? This is thinking of the instructions of Jesus here. Is this kind of like the jokes that are told on the dock? Like the fishermen that put an X on the side of the boat, and they said, why did you put an X on the side of the boat? Well, I want to remember where the good fishing is. Cast your net on the right side. Well, what does it matter, left or right? Wow. Was that hard to believe all night long? Maybe true fishermen never give up actual hope. I don't think I'm a true fisherman, but I think by then I would have been like, whew. But you know what they did? They received these instructions in verse 6 saying, go fish. And they dropped their net. They might have looked at each other and said, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work out. How will this work? I don't know. And I want you to think about that in your life. Maybe you're sitting here going, I don't know. Maybe you're saying, I don't know, right along with many other examples like we talked about last night. Whether it be the priests ready to dip their feet in the Jordan. What if you were the first priest saying, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm going to step into the river. I don't know how this is going to go, Joshua, but I'll follow you as we walk around in circles. Maybe you're sitting here and say, I don't know why I got that diagnosis, or I don't know why I'm having such a hard time in this area, or I don't know why this relationship seems to be falling apart. I don't know. Or I don't know why God's pulling me through this hard time. Is it possible, brothers and sisters, that God brings hard times, brings things into our lives to make room for Him to work and to walk that faith line? It's okay to say, I don't know. Because we can say in the same breath, I don't know, but I know whose instructions I'm following. I don't know, but I will be faithful to the shepherd as he leads me. We can't know. We can't know all things. We let that up to God. But I want you to think about making room for God to work. We're so used to tacking down everything so hard and tight that I'm not, God can do anything he wants, but maybe he says sometimes, well, you have it all taken care of. I guess you can do it your way. God wants to work. God wants to work in our lives. Has he taken you through some hard times? Hard times are beautiful times. They are. When you get through the other side, you say, I won't trade that for the world. So let God take you through that. This simple obedience of the fisherman saying, I'm dropping the net, is incredible. I'm putting the net back in the water. And I want to encourage you into that simple obedience to the Word of God, to Jesus' commands. I have an example in my life just happened, and it's silly. I've done masonry for like 20 years, and I've washed masonry, washed like the bricks and the rocks and things with a detergent that we mix with water. And I've done this for 20 years. And I've done it without gloves for many, many years. But you know what just happened last week or so? I was washing masonry and I got, I don't know if it's severe, but I got acid burns on my hands. They're still here. Because there were cuts on my hands. And as the acid wore down into the cuts, it just really burned into the skin. And it was days later even where it manifests worse and worse and worse. And I something in the back of my mind said, I bet you this is all addressed right on the container, on the label. So I read the label after using it for many, many years. It says, causes severe skin burns and you should wear proper protection. I'm like, obviously. I was not obeying the instructions. And I paid for it. Simple obedience. What Jesus says is good for you. We make it hard sometimes, don't we? This idea, this invitation of fishing is also symbolic of fishing for men. Like in Luke chapter 5, they brought in this big harvest of fish. And it says that Jesus told Peter, says, from this point on, you're not going to be fishing for fish anymore. You're going to be fishing for men. You're going to be fishing for men. Isn't that incredible? We are the light of the world. We are to go into the world to fish for men, just like Peter was commissioned to do so. A big catch of fish is symbolic of what God had in store for Peter and his ministry. And I want to correlate last night to right now, because as we think of Jesus bringing that big draught of fish into the shore, just like Isaac was building a kingdom, God was building a kingdom through Isaac and building him up. Brothers and sisters, today, God's heartbeat is for him, for you to help him build his kingdom here. To fish for men. That's what he wants you to be about. Not just fishing for fish in the water, but fishing for men, those people around you. God is building a kingdom. Will you be a part of that? Will you go fish? The second invitation that I want to highlight from John 21 is this invitation to feed. In 15 through 17, Jesus takes Peter on a little walk and talks to him about feeding. Feeding lambs, feeding sheep. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" He asks Peter, "Do you love me?" This is a must. Before you are able to feed, you can't feed something that you don't have. There's two words for feed here. One means to pasture, to keep, and I look at that as building a fence around a safe place. The other one is to tend as a shepherd. So as a farmer or a herdsman or a shepherd, the heart of a shepherd, you know when you watch a farmer or a shepherd that's truly has the heart of a shepherd, they care for their cattle, their herds underneath their care. They're providing a safe place for them to flourish as they feed them. Jesus is telling Peter, feed the lambs. Feed the sheep. Isn't that interesting? In 1 Peter 5, when Peter is writing, he got commissioned from the Savior about feeding, and he passes that on into the church saying, feed the flock which is under you. He's talking to the elders and the pastors here saying, feed the flock that's under you. Not by constraint, but of a ready mind, not for filthy lucre's sake, but you want to be active as a shepherd. Do you have a shepherd's heart as you feed the people that God has entrusted to your care? Are you building a safe place to feed those people? That's the duty of leaders. I want to ask you, this is something that's been on my mind a little bit. Who's doing the feeding? Right here, right now, who's doing the feeding? We like to think that it's the minister up in the pulpit. Is that where you're getting your food? Or are you going through the motion and turning switches on and off in your mind? Are you really getting fed here? Are you allowing yourself to get fed here? Do you have an appetite when you come to church? Or are you being filled somewhere else? There's many options in this world, isn't there? Maybe good to think about where you're getting your food. Who is doing the feeding? Somebody's feeding you. Somebody's feeding me. Who are you availing yourself of? The duty of each one of us is to feed those around us, those that are under our care, whether it's our children, our young people, those that we're in maybe mentoring. Maybe as a Sunday school teacher, you're feeding your pupils. Are you feeding the Word of God through your actions and your words? That's the invitation to feed. Third invitation is the invitation to follow. Jesus says to Peter in 18 through 22, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, you were taking care of yourself. When you get old, when you get a few years on you, you're going to suffer for me. You're going to go where you don't want to go necessarily. People are going to do things to you that are not going to be pleasant. But Jesus says, follow me. Peter says, well, what about this guy behind us? The one that Jesus loved. Jesus says, that's my business. Your business is to follow me. Follow me. Luke 5, we're right back in Luke 5. The first time, this is the second time that Jesus says to Peter, follow me. The first time Jesus is saying, Peter, follow me. We got 3 years ahead of us that are going to be unlike any part of your life that you've ever lived. Follow me. And Peter, after the fish are brought in, did you notice that? They brought the fish in, and then what does it say? They forsook all and followed him. It's not about the fish. It's about following Jesus. We can't help but getting into Peter's denial at this point. When you think of the first time saying, follow me, the 3 years of ministry, Peter's colossal failure at the end, and now we're back on the shore of Galilee, and Jesus is saying, follow me. I don't know if I can imagine. No, I don't know him. I'm telling you, I don't know him. And the third time, and Jesus looks across the courtroom, across wherever they were at that very moment, and looks at Peter. Can you imagine being in Peter's shoes? How many of us have actually done that? Probably everyone at one point or another. And Jesus is looking. He can see you. When we say, I don't know him. I don't know him. For some temporary reprieve of an awkward situation. Peter, I think Peter's repentance, it either was or at least started right away when he went out and wept bitterly. Because repentance means a turning, a 180. Meaning, God, please forgive me. I am going to follow your way and not my way. It's not a, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it again in another day or two. It's a turning. We're moving on. We're casting our lot with Christ. We're following him and carrying our cross. And in John 21, we have a beautiful restoration of Jesus' call on Peter's life. Peter, follow me. The Brother in New Testament commentary relates the coals of fire on the shore of Galilee that morning to the coals of fire that Peter was warming himself the night he denied Christ. A very poignant parallel. Wow. Maybe you've been there, feeling empty and drained. What do you think Peter felt like? Wow. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Wow. Jesus was commissioning Peter at this point. And the moment that was to follow was an amazing thing that he was on the he was on the cusp, is what I'm trying to say. He was on the cusp of an incredible Spirit-led ministry starting just a page after here in my Bible in the book of Acts. Acts 2. Peter took the invitation to follow him and led boldly the church as the church was birthed. The fourth invitation that we will round out with is that of come and dine. Jesus says to those that were in the boat, come and dine. He had breakfast for them on the shore of Galilee that morning. What a beautiful time. Come and dine. Let's have a meal together before I ascend to my Father, before you guys are thrust into the ministry of the church. Come and dine. What was that meal like? We don't really know, but I'm sure it was a special one. The invitation goes to you this morning as well. Come and dine. Come and dine tonight at the tables of the Lord. As we remember his life and his sacrifice, Jesus is saying, come and dine. Happy are ye if ye do these things. If you remember the bread and the cup, remembrance of what I have done for you. Come and dine and remember. Maybe you're feeling like that, Peter. Maybe you're feeling low. Maybe you're feeling like you royally blew it. And what's the use? I can't get it right. Through Christ, you can. He knows what to do with those failures. He knows what to do with that bitterness. He knows what to do with those broken things in your life. He wants you to answer the question, will you receive those invitations? One, come and dine tonight. We look forward to another come and dine as we look toward the end of time in Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And he that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. He's saying, come and dine to those who have carried his cross and followed him. So as you consider the life of Peter, maybe you can identify in some way. Christ wants to meet you where you are at. He met Peter where he was at. So open up your life to him and let the searchlight of the Holy Spirit shine throughout it. God bless.